So welcome everybody to an episode of Revy Steady Go. We are now in the most amazing village called Great Ellingham, and I'm excited because this is my first ever visit to this village, and it is rural. We're definitely rural. And I'm sitting with Reverend Tory and Catherine. We're sitting in the church, and this, just to give you a sense of, it's December. It's actually very close to Christmas. There's a Christmas tree in the church, and the sun is shining in through the windows. There's no stained glass windows. It's kind of bright and clear. It's a really beautiful space, but it feels super ancient. There's kind of wall paintings that have been painted over. We don't really know exactly what age this building is, but what's also interesting, it has no pews, so it's a really flexible space. There are chairs around the place, and the whole building can be rearranged. But anyway, we might come onto that later, but just wanted to say hello, Reverend Tory. Lovely
hello.
To see you, and Catherine. And thank you for your time, because I know you've just had a whole load of children in here for their Christmas.
Yeah, we had the school carol service this morning.
And that went well?
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, packed out as usual.
Excellent. Well, we wanted to catch up with you to find out a bit about what's going on in this village, because it's a very small village. From what I understand, there's only...
We're about 500 houses.
500 houses, yeah. So small village. And you have... quite a lot of children coming along to join in with the life of the church.
Yeah, we try to encourage children into our church, and we've got a small, really small children's area, but children are always welcome, and they can have the toys out. And yeah, it's nice to see them. My children come, sometimes not always enthusiastically.
And how old are your children?
My children are 8 and 12.
Okay.
But they have been coming... I will say part of the furniture, because if I come, they normally have to come too. But yeah, we've been doing our cafe church service on our second Sunday, and it's been going for quite a number of years, but we've started to see over the last sort of year or so that the numbers have started to creep up, which is really lovely.
It's
and
exciting.
It's nice to see some new faces and new people, and especially when they come again, which is lovely. And we combine that with food on the Sunday, so a breakfast, toast and rolls and things like that, and then we have our service at 10:30.
You said you've been doing it for a while. How long has this been going on for?
I would say we've probably been going for around 15, maybe 16, 17 years, that sort of time.
Wow.
But the format's changed quite a bit over the time. So it used to be very much we'd have tables in the middle of the church, and people would sit down and maybe eat their breakfast while we had the service, which is fine, but we've run with a music group, and the music group always looked at everyone else eating their rolls and having their coffee, thinking, well, this, you know, they're all enjoying their breakfast, but we don't get the chance to do that because we're singing or playing or whatever. So, and because we had the tables out, we had to move all the chairs out of the main body of the church and put all the tables in. So it became a little bit labour intensive.
So you're leading this, aren't you, Catherine? You're not ordained, you're not a vicar.
No. It has been suggested that I might do a little bit more training. But I've joined in because I play the flute, so I play in the music group.
Right. Were you the person who was hungry?
Well,
everybody else was.
Yeah, well, I certainly don't eat and play the flute. It's not a good combination. But you do look at everyone and go,
use
hey.
It as a straw, maybe.
I used to wait until finished, and then I'd just, you know, get whatever's left over at the end.
Reverend Tory, you have not been here for 15 years.
Nope. 15, 16 months, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and so coming into this role and finding this has been bubbling away, and
yeah.
What's it been like as the kind of person ultimately responsible or overseeing it, and how has it felt to release it, to encourage it, to enable it to happen?
It's been fantastic because when I turned up, I've got 12 churches that I'm in charge
wow.
of, and not all of them have a service every Sunday, but generally there's enough to keep us all busy, as you can imagine. And finding things that are working and working really well is fantastic. I've gone in with the kind of mindset of I'm not going to mess with anything that's working, and if it isn't working, then you know we can take a bit of time and have a look at it and see maybe why not and what we can tweak. But this has been a fantastic thing. I mean, I regret that I can't come to it more often because it works so well. I think that's the main downside. But I've been a couple of times and it's always been really lovely, and my own children have come and enjoyed it as well, which is really nice.
Brilliant. And any, if I was listening in as a vicar, multi-parish benefice, any tips from your point of view of how to lead in this way, how to encourage these things to happen? And
there's a lot of people with very good skills out there. I would say that finding out what your own skill set is great, and then finding out what other people's are and using them, because I can do some things, but I've got a lot of people who are brilliant at other things, like music. I cannot play any musical instrument. I'm not particularly good at wrangling children. I do all right. I go in and I cause chaos, and then I run away and someone else sorts out the rest. It's all about finding different people's skill sets and bringing it out of them. These people are really good at leading a cafe church. Fantastic.
Brilliant. And you have a kind of mixed ecology of worship across the benefice, different styles, different flavors.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a rural multi-parish benefice thing, isn't it? You get some churches who are very keen on their sort of slightly higher traditions, and some churches that like their, more music group and that kind of thing. And so it's finding what people are doing well. And encouraging that. I don't try and create a system where everything's homogenised and everyone has the same service, because it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. Fantastic. I wanted to just set my stopwatch because we have a little silly Revy Steady Go game, which is to name all the parishes in the benefice as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Are you ready? Ready, steady, go.
Okay, so we've got Skelton and Wood Rising, we've got Hingham, we've got Highoak Parish, which consists of Deepham, Hackford, Wicklewood, Morley St Peter and Morley St Botolph, and then in Shellrock benefice, see, I've got two benefices, we've got Great Ellingham, Little Ellingham, Rockland All Saints and Rockland St Peter.
Stop. Wow.
There we go. I could have named which saints they all had as well, but
23 seconds, 23.54. Well done. That's incredible.
I don't know whether that's better for length of time or whether it's shorter is better, but
it's not been a great game because we did it with one, and they only had one church in the entire benefice, so it's about point something of a second. So it's
What's one parish? I mean,
exactly. I think you possibly have the largest benefice of all of the ones we've interviewed so far. So congratulations, Catherine. Just tell us a bit about what happens. So if I've landed in Great Ellingham, I come along on the second Sunday.
Yep.
And there's food.
Absolutely. Yes.
What else do you do?
Well, we start with breakfast, so you don't have to come for breakfast. One of the things, obviously, when you have children is that breakfast could be any time in the morning. So you do find that if your children are up at 6, breakfast at 9:30 is too late. They've already had breakfast.
Yep.
Once, twice.
Second breakfast.
So, we can have second breakfast. And then we have our service starting about 10:30. If you're still munching on your roll, that's fine, no problem. If you've still got a coffee in your hand, also no problem. If you don't fancy breakfast and you just want to come along at 10:30, also no problem. That's fine. It's a relaxed format. We lead it with the music group. So we have a guitar, myself on the flute, and we have a few ladies doing some singing. We put all the words on the projector screen. So there's no need to worry about which page you're on the hymn book or following an order of service. It's all on the screen to see. And then it's a really straightforward format, normally lasting about 45 minutes or so. A song, a Bible reading, which normally sets the theme up for whatever it might be. Another song, it could be a talk, a poem, it could be an activity. If it's my week, I like to go down the activity route because I like to try to find something different that links in with the reading that's a little bit different. And maybe kind of challenges them to think, oh, Catherine's here again. What are we going to have to do today? So, and then another song, some prayers, another song. And we always finish with anyone who has birthdays in the month. So if you have birthdays, it's encouraged that you might want to stand up so we can sing happy birthday to you.
Excellent.
Because it's only fair if we're going to be a big family that, we celebrate those occasions. Yeah.
You mentioned your husband isn't a massive fan.
He's not
church,
a massive fan of church. Yeah, since we've been doing it with a projector screen, he got the tech role.
Right.
Finding all the words, putting them all up. His favourite is when we've chosen a hymn that's not in his current settings of pieces of paper, and he goes, oh, I've got to go find the words. And every Saturday in our house, it's almost a ritual when he comes to it, rummages through my music and checks that the words on his screen match the words that we'll be sort of singing from, because you can always guarantee that there's a couple of anomalies. And then he well, I say he does the screen these days. Both of my kids now have been doing it, and they sort of take it in turns. It's the youngest is the favourite these days. She's all up for pressing the button and moving the slides along. Okay. So the others get to take a back seat. But
we've got a few quick fire questions. They're not entirely sensible, but if you're up for it, we'll try some. If your church had a neon sign on the front of the door, what would it say?
Well, I think you'd have to say, welcome, we're open. Come for cake.
Come for cake.
Come for cake. Coffee, cake.
If I was an alien and I landed in Great Ellingham, how would you explain the village to me?
Oh, that's quite a tricky question.
In a few words.
Pancake race.
It's a pancake race.
We have a pancake race every year,
And what else is going on in Great Ellingham?
Teddy bears. I think we have to mention the teddy bears.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In July, we had a teddy bear festival.
What's in a teddy bear festival?
A teddy bear festival is 2 weeks of, well, teddy bears. And it started as a church fundraising, sort of 2003, 2004-ish. And people build mostly, I'll say life-size, maybe small life-size-ish bears out of straw. And they put them in their gardens. And it runs for usually the first 2 weeks in July. And you can come for the trail, you walk around the village, you try and find them all.
They're made of straw.
Yeah, made of straw.
Giant.
Yeah, with outfits. And some might do them with characters. If it's a theme year, you might, well, say, not a theme year in that everyone does the same theme, but if there's something popular or common in the news, you might see lots of those bears. So.
Do people get on very well in Great Ellingham? Is there quite a strong sense of community?
So we had the year that Princess Catherine and Prince William got married, lots of wedding bears.
Wedding bears.
Tony Bears. That sort of thing.
Sense of fun then around the place.
Yes.
Quite quirky as well.
Well, you know, we try and, you know, encourage all sorts.
If a hedgehog wandered into your church second Sunday, what would everybody do?
Absolutely, they'd have cake. Definitely cake.
What kind of inspires, what sustains you in, you know, it's a lovely sunny day today, but in January, when you're doing it and you think, oh, I wonder who's going to come, and inspiration as to what to be speaking about, what to be leading, and what sustains your faith in all of this?
I think you're right, it can be really difficult. I mean, like you say, it's a really old building. If it rains, it's really demoralising because you never know where the next leak is coming from. But it's, for me, I think it's the music carries me. I love to play, and I played the flute when I was at school. School's a few years ago now, but when I left school and went to university, I didn't play. And it wasn't until I moved here and Colin, who was involved in the music group, said, oh, I hear you play an instrument. I was like, well, you know, play the flute a little bit. Oh, great. Well, you can come and, you know, the guitar and the flute and the singers. It's I describe it as modern music. So if you're a traditional and you like, you know, hymns, ancient and modern or something like that, this isn't what we're offering. We're offering the more modern type of music. I won't say that Shine Jesus Shines of the world, but it is in our repertoire. So I like, it always feels much more joyful. And you go out humming the last tune that you feel like you want to do an encore almost, but you've got to the end. Everyone's had the grace and said the grace and the blessing. You're off to the cup of for your next cup of coffee, but actually you want to do another song because you feel like it. You feel sort of almost enthusiastic and energized about it, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy it.
What's been your journey of faith as well? Have you always been a churchgoer? Have you always had a faith? Or was there a moment in your own journey where a penny dropped, or you came to a greater understanding of Jesus? Or
no, I've always been at church. I'm sure that when I was tiny, my mum and dad would say, oh, well, at Christmas we took you along in your little carry cot. I was born in November, so and so I've always been, and I suppose it's just been a natural thing for me. When I was younger, I did odds and ends, as you do. If your parents are on a rota, then you're nearly always roped in on something. But we were in a town church, so nothing like this. And when I moved into Great Ellingham in 2005, I wanted to find a home almost. I'm not from Norfolk, so moving to a village when you've just got married as well is quite challenging, because you've got to find a new set of people. In fact, one of the things I talked about in, I think it was our September service, is about making those connections, and those connections being really important for people to develop and grow. Mm. And for me, I remember coming to church on my own. It was quite scary. I think, you know, you're new to the village. A lot of the other people have been coming for years, but I wouldn't actually be without it now. Mm. Like I say, I've been here 20 years, and some of the people we've met through church are really great friends. Mm. We couldn't have brought up our children without the people that we've met through church, you know, whether they've babysat for us or, you know, kept an eye on them while we're doing something else, or, you know, even to come to church with them while they're hairing it round. Someone's got one eye on them while you're busy drying up a mug in the corner or something. Mm. So, yeah, it's been really important for me, I think, certainly, you know, over the last few years, because, yes, you're right, rural churches are really challenging. They're not, you know, we're not full to the rafters every week, but we've still got bills to pay. Mm. And I'm the treasurer as well, so those bills I see. And it's really difficult from the outside sometimes. People, oh, you know, the church is there. They all like the church and they want the church to be there. Mm. But it's getting people in to support the church as well. And that's quite tricky. So Cafe Church on a Sunday is part of that. We have services here 3 Sundays out of 4. The fourth one we have a shared benefice service. And some of the other things we're starting to try are to try and build up that connection with other people in the village. And with the new estates that have been built in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, trying to show people who are moving in that you can still come into a church. You don't have to normally come, but you're still welcome. We've got a little children's corner with some toys. We're open during the day so that if you're walking around, you can pop in. Going back a few years, but in COVID times, we started, everything closed, but we started a library in the village, in the porch. And I think it was a case of you couldn't get to a charity shop, but people had time on their hands. So we amassed quite a collection of books, and we were lucky enough with the Teddy Festival, which we have in the village every year. They bought some bookcases for us, so we have our library as well. So it means that people can come into church during the week, they can pick a book up, they can bring a book, they can take 5 away, 25 away if they want to. But it's something else that means people can see the church as part of their community. And then obviously we've got all our posters advertising our services and leaflets. And we've done Messy Church a couple of times. Our last one, which was in October, linking with Harvest, because Harvest is, you know, a nice festival to celebrate. We've got Harvest, but, you know, you can come again. You can come to Pop-Up Cafe. You can come to our next Messy Church. You could come to celebrate the Christingle with us, which we did at Cafe Church.
Amazing. And you have the monthly Just a Cafe.
Yes.
Not Cafe Church, Just Cafe.
Just Cafe, yeah.
And that coincides with then, that's if our, you like this, then come to Cafe Church. It's kind of
Our busy weekend, we call it.
Busy weekend.
Busy weekend. So we started that a couple of years ago as a way of saying to people, you know, you can come in. And we do that on the Saturday, and that's 10 till 12, and we put fresh coffee on, always fresh cakes, because, I mean, rural churches, runs on cake. Absolutely. You cannot have a service at St. James without cake. And we have a very good repertoire of cakes as well. I have to recommend them all highly. Our church warden lives locally, and he calls them cemetery buns. Right. They're 17th century, I think, originally, but that's what they used to call them. Cemetery buns, legendary. Everyone comes and asks for the cemetery buns. Yeah. So, a fresh cake, you know.
Intrigued.
Yeah.
Got cologne in them, in the cemetery buns.
Yeah, they're sort of like a rock bun, aren't they?
But nicer.
Wow. Yeah. But see, I don't like raisins, so I won't eat them.
Okay.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, but everyone else comes and goes, have you got some cemetery buns? Yes, we can. Has Charles baked?
Wow. Well, thank you so much. So the sense you get, it's sitting in the building. Obviously, people listening won't be able to see, but it's a sense that it's evolved to, there's something ancient, but there's a bookstall, there's a book exchange, there's kind of different levels that people can engage in this amazing building. And it really seems to have centered around hospitality and invitation towards the wanderer, the initiated and the uninitiated, and the curious, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, we try to make it a welcoming space. People are more than welcome to drop in when they're passing. We try to engage with other things within the village that people might want to see or do, because in a rural space you don't have as many community spaces. So we do have a pub, we do have a recreation centre, and then the church, and that's kind of it. You know, there's nowhere else sort of communal spaces. So we've kind of adapted, like I say, we've got our library book type arrangement, our children's toys. But we've got a couple of local people as well who are very enthusiastic about the history of the village as well. And they like to do history exhibitions in here. We're local to Deepham Green Airfield. So we've got a section almost dedicated to Deepham Green, which was an airfield in the Second World War.
Oh, right, yeah.
So people who've got an interest in that are welcome to come and have a look. And a local guy does a lot of metal detecting. And people in the village love to see what he's been digging up. Yeah, and it was an American air base, so we sometimes have people from America. Yeah. If they're in the area, they might be trying to do a number of churches, so that's lovely. And a lady who does history, local history, so she's always got a display up about
the board over there.
Yeah, always got a display up about something going on.
Local stories.
Yeah, changes about every 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. So she's focusing on Christmas, but sometimes, you know, a few weeks ago would have been Remembrance, so any of our service personnel. We can have births, baptisms, it could be the school, it could be weddings, it could any you know, types of employment, almost the butchers or the bakers, which, you know, existed in the village itself years ago. Yeah, so there's always something to pop in and see, really.
Looking backwards and looking forwards, all in one multi-sensory space. Well, thank you so much.
That's all right.
For sharing. If you're passing through Great Ellingham, do drop in and come and have a look. And second Sunday, there's
Second
Cafe
Sunday,
Church,
absolutely, Cafe Church.
Come
breakfast
and see
from 9:30.
All the best in exploring Bubble Church as well. That sounds very fun. And thank you, Reverend Tory, as well, for your time. I don't want to take up any more time as Christmas is calling. And yeah, we'll see you in the pews.